Welcome back, everyone. We've had two fascinating hours with Dan Sheehan, an attorney who also is a co-founder of something called the New Paradigm Institute. Before we open up the phone lines, Danny, I thought I might give you a chance to plug this institute, what it does, and whether how regular citizens might get involved in what you're doing if they so choose.
Well, this is a 501c3 public interest organization that has resulted from the State of the World Forum with Gorbachev and Alan Cranston and in Ted Turner, that this is an attempt to establish the understanding of what the alternative worldviews are that range all the way from the authoritarian worldview to the reactionary worldview to the conservative worldview to the moderate worldview, to the liberal worldview, to the progressive worldview, to the utopian worldview, and the understanding of what the final worldview is in this octave set of worldviews that are held by the human family, which is this new extraterrestrial worldview, this whole new worldview that's going to come in when people come to grips with the reality that we not only are not the center of the universe that we once thought, but that in fact we are not in fact the pinnacle of all evolution, that there are other sentient, highly intelligent civilizations elsewhere in the galaxy. And the fact is that we're part of a galactic community. This is a new worldview that needs to be understood, but it needs to be understood in the context of the other worldviews, because most people hear these terms thrown around of this person is a liberal or this person is a fascist or this person is sort of deadly moderate, you know, but the fact is they don't know what those worldviews are all about. They don't know that each one of those worldviews has its own unique cosmology or theory of how the universe actually came into being. Each one of them has their own unique teleology or theory of how the world is unfolding, what's to be expected in the immediate future pursuant to the way the world is unfolding. They each have their own theory as to how human consciousness actually came into being, you know, from an otherwise inert matter in the universe. How did consciousness come into being? Or did it, in fact, pre-exist the entire universe? Did there, in fact, has there existed an infinite and eternal sea of entirely undifferentiated consciousness that actually enfolded into being the original unit of matter as a singularity within the field of consciousness? Now, these are all things that people don't spend a lot of time thinking about, but depending upon how you answer those questions, it will determine what mode of ethical reasoning you actually use to try to address the solution to problems that we face in our human family. And whatever mode of ethical reasoning you use will determine what philosophy you have and what political philosophy you have and what mode of spiritual expression you'll have. These are sets. There's a whole set of 10 very major specific beliefs that make up a worldview, and there's an entire octave of worldviews. All this discussion that we've been having tonight that talks about reactionaries like George W. Bush, how they're distinguished from mere conservatives like George Bush Sr., how they're differentiated from liberals like John Edwards or progressives like Dennis Kucinich. You know, these are things that people need to know in order to make intelligent choices, and more importantly, to prepare ourselves for the new upcoming worldview that is going to come upon us once we actually have established to the complete knowledge of everybody in the world that this extraterrestrial civilization does exist. So this New Paradigm Institute exists to communicate this information to people. It's a spin-off from the State of the World Forum of Gorbachev, and it is the progeny of the old Christic Institute. The Christic Institute engaged in this long-time dialectic of investigating and challenging the secrecy of our country, and we realize that the time has come now that rather than just confronting these people in sort of demonizing them, we have to bring everybody together around the table for peace and reconciliation to understand that all of these worldviews have their place. None of them is completely evil. None of them is completely perfect. But when we bring them all together, just as we bring together all of the primary colors of the spectrum, the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, when you bring all of these major seven colors together and shine them onto a single spot, you get clear white light. This is the symbol of the New Paradigm Institute, and this is what we've been doing. This is what we were doing in hopes of establishing a new worldview to present to the United Nations right after the beginning of the new millennium. We were going to be calling together all 189 world presidents and presenting this new worldview to them. when 9/11 occurred, and the reactionaries seized control of the United States government, used this as an excuse to create a whole new world of ultimate enemies, and we have to reject that. We have to firmly reject that, and we have to reestablish trust among ourselves in the world, and we need to not only learn to tolerate, but to actively understand and appreciate everyone else's worldview and come together in unison to establish a genuinely new millennium, to basically understand that the Cold World is over, the Cold War is over, and we need to regroup now that the Cold War is over, and establish a new worldview and prepare for what is coming with our contact with an extraterrestrial civilization.
Okay, it's called the New Paradigm Institute, and if people want to know more about it, newparadigminstitute.org. You can find it on the net. There might even be links on the Coast to Coast site as well. I just want to emphasize before we go to the phones here that what Dan is saying, and as, to go back to what I said earlier, these are political issues. No question about it. And a lot of his harshest criticism has been aimed at Republican administrations. But as Dan has said, no one is pure in this sort of thing, that a lot of folks, a lot of Democrats have helped to perpetuate the secrecy and have been involved in conspiracies as well. So I encourage everyone, as you're calling in, go ahead and ask tough questions. But let's remember that Mr. Sheehan is our guest here. Okay. We can have a good, honest discussion about these things. So I think we're going to try to take one call before we go to the first break in this half hour. I'm going to go to Jeff on the first time caller line. Jeff calling from North Carolina. Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hi, George. Hi, Danny. Great show. I agree with everything that you've said, but I'm not as optimistic as you are. This country's been taught to buy these people's fraud. It's patriotic to do that. And I think the idea that these people would let go is just not realistic.
Well, that's one of the things, again, without being, you know, advocational exclusively about Edwards, you hear what John Edwards is saying. He said, look, the fact of the matter is that to think that you can just sit down at the table with these people and give them their place at the table, if you give them their place at the table, these major transnational corporations, they'll eat all the food, or they'll at least take 95% of the food and leave the remainder for everyone else. So John is saying that you need to confront them, you need to challenge them, you need to take this power away from them. This is the second time they've done this. They did this between 1868 and 1917, the robber baron era, the whole Gilded Age era of the huge monopolies and the big trusts that were established. That what they did is they drove our country right into total bankruptcy with the collapse of the stock market in 1929. This is, you've heard mentioned several times during the course of the discussion tonight, the potential pending gloom that people hear coming up with 2012, the potential complete collapse of the economy, the collapse of the environment, the collapse of our country is a beacon of hope for the people of the world. This I still continue to realize that we faced this before, and we have challenged it, and we have met the challenge in the past, but we need to do so consciously. This power needs to be taken from them. But I'll say this in closing. I pointed out that we have these different worldviews that span all the way from the extreme right wing all the way to the extreme left wing, but this reactionary worldview is the lower manifestation of the second paradigm worldview. There is a higher manifestation that is not dialectical, but it is binary. It is, in fact, the Tao. Instead of seeing things as black and white, good guys and bad guys, we see them just as the yin and the yang, that there is a dance that goes on between feminine and masculine energy, between the different kind of cultures, between Western civilization and Eastern civilization. This is something that can be seen as a constructive dynamic if we truly appreciate it and view it in a positive and optimistic way. But we need to take the lead on this. We need to, as the people who have for the last 8 years at least, you know, invaded countries, attempted to seize the oil fields in the Middle East, to actually have led Saddam Hussein into invading Kuwait. You know, George Bush on July 11th of 1991 sent a personal handwritten communique to Saddam Hussein stating that if Saddam Hussein chose to use military force against Kuwait to resolve his dispute with the border with them, that the United States would not view it as a serious matter. And as soon as they did it, then the Secretary of Defense under George Bush Sr., at that time Dick Cheney, contacted Prince Bandar, who was the ambassador to the United States from Saudi Arabia, and lied to him and said that, that we had intelligence indicating that Saddam Hussein was going to, after invading Kuwait, invade Saudi Arabia.
Danny, I'm going to have to stop you here. We need to take a short break. We'll come back with more calls in just a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're speaking with attorney Dan Sheehan, and you've been listening. Boy, you know he's quite a firecracker on some of this stuff. We're going to go back to the phones now. East of the Rockies, TJ in Minnesota. What's on your mind? Are you there?
TJ, are you out there? I think we lost TJ.
We are losing TJ there, so we'll go to west of the Rockies, Blair in Sedona.
Hi, George. Good evening, and good evening, Daniel.
Hi, Blair.
I have a sort of a theory that our electronic voting machine experiment in the electoral process is really not a very good idea.
That's true.
Do you remember back in 2004 when Howard Dean let out his big yell,
yes.
Yelp, and that was the turn of the tide and John Kerry took over? Do you think the electronic voting machine process had something to do with getting a weaker candidate in?
Well, no. We're talking about the Diebold voting machine corporation. I was involved in conducting some of the investigations in Florida and Ohio following the 2004 election, and there was ample evidence indicating that there was major fraud being used with those Diebold machines. There's one of the major objectives that's going to be undertaken immediately following the identification of the nominees for both the Republican and Democratic Party here in February is going to be to try to eliminate the use of these Diebold machines in both Ohio and Florida, among other states. So that's going to be a very important issue that's got to be dealt with. We need to either have a direct, verifiable paper trail of what the original vote was that was cast, or better yet, to eliminate those particular machines. And even if it's a little less efficient and not quite as spectacularly immediate for the media around the country, having dramatic immediate results, I think it's going to be much more reliable and it's going to restore the trust of the American people in the voting system.
Thanks, Blair. Thanks for the call. We're going to go to our wild card one line. David in Palmdale, California, a town that has a lot of interesting stuff flying around out there. David, what's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, we do have a lot of interesting stuff. Actually, what I've done is I've actually sent you a link of an article that came out today. And you're on the Democratic side, Daniel, but you know Bilderberg. I'm sure you're familiar with the Bilderberg group.
Oh, sure, sure.
There is an author who's written a book, Daniel Estulin. I can't pronounce his last name. Anyways, this book, he has insiders in the Bilderberg that he does get information from. There's a candidate running for president. We raised $5 million in 24 hours today. We raised $4.5 million on November 5th. Apparently, Bilderberg inside the top people there are talking about assassination.
Who are you saying? Ron Paul is going to be assassinated?
It is on the table. Yes. And I want to get it out there because don't mess with our guy. Because, I mean, they want a real revolution. This man speaks the truth. He goes out there and he speaks the truth about the North American Union, about the coming Euro, or the Mar-Euro, and he's put his butt out there on the line for us.
Okay, David, point made. It's on the record. We are forewarned. We're going to go to a wild card two line, John in Phoenix. John?
Hi, George.
Hey, good morning. John.
And nice to be with you tonight. I wondered if your guest could give me a little clarification on you mentioned his service or being retained by the Jesuit order. Is he still in that capacity?
No. I was chief counsel for the Jesuits from 1975 to 1985. It was during the primary period when the major operations were going on in Latin America to attempt to organize peasants and stuff through the Jesuits into cooperatives, farmers' cooperatives, etc. In 1985, when Pedro Arrupe passed away, who was the superior of the order, I moved on and founded the Christic Institute that worked with all 54 of the major religious denominations in the entire United States.
Okay, so would you say you were an advocate of liberation, so-called liberation theology then in that time?
Well, actually, I had a lot of criticisms of liberation theology. I thought that my own personal opinion was is that it, in fact, tended to substitute an almost entirely secular analysis for the source of problems.
And sir, would you say you're a practicing Catholic now?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. I go to Mass every Sunday. I was there this morning through the snow in the winters of Iowa. So I go to the Mass every Sunday.
I'm kind of confused by that because I see your co-founder on the Institute is a young lady or a woman who served as a labor secretary for the National Organization for Women.
That's right.
Which, of course, is a overtly pro-abortion organization. And wondered if you have any problems in that.
One of the things you'll discover, John. I don't know if you're married, but you're one is not responsible for the political positions of one's wife.
Oh! As a matter of fact, one is I just tell you, George, that I didn't think time warps existed, but it's amazing listening to your guest and reading some of the stuff on the website. It's like being transported right back to 1968 because. All the things tied to this guest are hard left items, and I just ask one last question is, so you talk about getting the world leaders together, so you think that Ahmadinejad, who says that he'll wipe Israel off the face of the map, deserves a seat at the table along with a guy like Kim Jong-il, who starved his population?
Oh, well, one of the...
Is it about talking with those kind of guys?
All of the candidates, all the way from through the entire Republicans and the Democrats, all acknowledge that what we're going to have to do in order to solve the problems that exist now with regard to Iraq is we're going to have to sit down with the leadership of not only Iran, but Syria, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in all the countries of the world, to have discussions with them. One doesn't have to succumb to their position. You know that obviously in the free play of ideas, if a person sits down and sets forth ridiculous ideas, such as he does, and saying that he doesn't believe that the Holocaust even happened, you know that the lack of merit of his arguments are going to be obvious on the face of them, and he's not going to have much influence. But one can't completely exclude him from being able to participate in the conversations. So that all the candidates and all the parties acknowledge that we have to have dialogue with these people doesn't mean you have to believe their positions or accept their positions, but we have to talk with everybody.
Thanks very much for the call. These are pointed questions. These are difficult issues, so there are disagreements about these things, but at least we can have a rational and
sure,
fairly polite conversation about them. Do we have time for one more call before we go to the break? Anyone? We'll try one more. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line, Peter in New Jersey.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Peter.
Mr. Sheehan, I have a question for you. I have two questions, really. Now, since you brought up the Bilderbergs, are they connected in any way to the Rockefellers?
The Bilderbergs, there's a book that you should read about this. It has some deep discussions about this. There's a fellow by the name of Peter Dale Scott. He has written a book that is called The Road to 9/11. And he talks about the differences in these different kind of secret societies that exist in the gatherings of these different people and how some of them are involved with the Rockefellers. David Rockefeller in the Council on Foreign Relations is different from the Bilderberger group itself. And there's even some divisions, for example, between David Rockefeller and Nelson Rockefeller. But that's a book that would really be very helpful for people to understand this. It's Peter Dale Scott's book is called The Road to 9/11, and that'll discuss the differences and distinctions among all those different groups.
I'll tell you what, Peter, hang on with your second question. We'll come back to you after the break. Stick around for Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, everyone. We have a short time period left with our guest, Dan Sheehan, and a lot of you have things you want to say to him. The phone lines are lit up, and we're going to get to as many of your calls as we can. We're going to go to Davita in Kansas City on the wildcard line. Davita, what's on your mind?
Hi. Okay, I have a couple of things. The first one is, you know, that while I really like the idea of peace and reconciliation, and frankly, Edwards is my candidate of choice, I just feel like the public will not respond positively to that if there aren't some limits to it. I mean, where we're talking high treason on the part of officials, you know, in whom the public trust was placed, particularly in the highest office and offices of this country, I just don't think that you can say you're not going to pursue you know, charges of treason when that would be appropriate. You know, and I don't know how you get their cooperation short of that, but I just don't, because, you know, this is why Ford lost the election to Carter, because he pardoned Nixon. I mean, the people just aren't going to go for that. I think when you really get to the, when you really throw the doors open to those dark closets, you're going to find that the corruption goes back to World War II, and there were acts of high treason and murder involved, for one thing. And so that's my first point, you know.
Okay, then we're going to go to Danny and let him answer that. Dan, you want to address that?
Yes, I hear you there. I really do. And it's a major issue that needs to be addressed, because that I've been working for 35 years to try to get these things addressed, and it's become perfectly evident to me that to attempt to bring these people to the bar of justice, to get them prosecuted for these types of crimes, especially the problem is that crimes like treason and others have statutes of limitations. That, you know, that if you don't prosecute these people within 5 years of the commission of their crime, then the statutes of limitations that apply to any crimes tend to run. Now, with murder, it's different. With actual assassinations and murders, there is no statute of limitations. But with regard to all these other crimes, there are statutes of limitations that places them beyond the reach of the law. And so that what I'm saying is that with regard to a lot of those types of crimes, we have to openly agree that those people are not going to be prosecuted under the present system, but we have to give them immunity in order to have them come in to testify, just like they did in South Africa. We need to get that done. Now, I know that with regard to the most recent administration in the last 8 years, there's a lot of extremely hard feelings that run to them, that there's with these renditions and the torturing that's gone on, et cetera, that I think that it's really, really important that we find out what all the details of this are, and because it's so important that we demonstrate to the outside world that we have a desire to get this stuff exposed. Now, you're right that if we just expose it and then forgive them, a lot of people in the rest of the world are going to say, oh, well, wasn't that helpful? You know, you admitted everything and you let all your people go and didn't punish them at all. These people are still potentially subject to international prosecution in the international courts of justice. We're going to have a very intense discussion about that among our people, about what we want to do about this. But I think it's going to be extremely important that we get these facts put out on the table so that we can understand what happened, acknowledge what it is that happened, and start to take the systematic steps that are necessary to keep it from ever happening again in the future.
Okay, thank you, Danny, for that answer. DeVita, if you want to hang on, we're going to take a short break. If you want to hang on, we'll try to get to one more of your questions and then try to open up to other callers. We'll be right back with more of Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Knapp. We have a few minutes left with our guest, Dan Sheehan, an attorney from the New Paradigm Institute. We were talking to DeVita in Kansas City. DeVita, a lot of people waiting to get on, so I'm going to ask you to get right to the point.
Okay. The second part of it was I was going to ask him if he believes that Senator Edwards' presidency would also focus on remedying the unfortunate suffering of the people that have been, victimized by this regime of secrecy and dark dealings, like Leonard Peltier, whose petition for clemency has been languishing since 1993.
Danny, that's something you know about, don't you?
I will personally present that to John because I actually was the ACLU lawyer for at Wounded Knee for the American Indian Movement and No Pelletier. And so that will be one of the very first things that I present to John by way of potential presidential pardons.
Thanks, DeVita. We're going to go to Simone in Chicagoland. Simone, good morning.
Yes, thank you very much. I would like to ask regarding the UFO that landed in Russia and the blue beam came out. What year did that happen?
Well, it's not. At this exact moment, I'm not certain. I found out about this in 1994. Pardon?
I have a reason for asking it. If you'd like to hear it.
Okay, sure. What was it?
Make it quick.
I was in the Air Force, and I worked in a cable traffic message center, like the one in the movie, The Falcon and the Snowman, mm-hmm. and had a high clearance. And I came into an unauthorized possession of the tracking of a UFO that went into near Moscow, and it was an eyes-only level paper, and they got me to turn it back in by telling me that it was a hoax document, but I was put under investigation for espionage, for spying for the Soviet Union for the next 7 months of my life, and I only gave you a molecule-sized soundbite. It's a long story. Anyway, I got my FOIA files in the early 90s, at least documenting that this happened to me.
Hey, so Simone, why don't you send me some of that stuff? Email it to me. I'd like to get a look at it. And Danny, do you think that you took notes with that meeting with the Russian newspaper editor where you might have indicated where and when that that crash had taken place or that incident took place?
I didn't take the notes. I was sitting with him at a table in a restaurant, and just he was telling me the story. But I can find out when that particular incident took place. I'm sure I can, George, and I'll find that for you.
Okay, east of the Rockies, Joe in New Orleans. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. My question concerns the information that your guest has looked at. Has he ever read across different secret societies and their agendas as far as moving the economy and just basically disrupting the world order?
Well, there's lots of information around, Joe, about these things. The peculiar thing is that each of these particular issues that I have the personal information about have come to me because I've actually been retained as an attorney to do the investigation. In Watergate, you know, I was in F. Lee Bailey's office, and we represented James McCord. We got him to write the letter to Judge Sirica that blew the whistle on the plumbers and Nixon. You know, I was at the Pentagon Papers, and we represented the New York Times. That other things that are just general information about some of these other groups, I've never had any particular occasion to do any specific professional investigation of that. So I don't pretend to have any particular unique knowledge about it. All I know is what things are in books like Peter Dale Scott's books and other things. So I know that there's significant indications that they exist and that they're engaged in very high level discussions about wanting to have influence and effect upon our economy. But I don't really have any special knowledge about that, and I wouldn't like to pretend that I do.
Okay.
Anything else, Joe?
Contacted by a group called the Nouveau Tech Society.
Oh no, I don't know about them.
Right. They were looking to. They're a technology type group.
Oh, far. I don't know about them.
Well, you'll have to tell us more about it at some point. We're going to go now to west of the Rockies, Marie in Tempe.
Yes. Hi. Thank you both for doing such an excellent show. This is so wonderful. First of all, can I elect Dan for president? Seriously, be an excellent.
There's so many candidates out there now. It's hard to keep them. Hard to keep.
But I want to make sure that our vote counts. Anywhere else, it's not going to count. So I'll do it on coast to coast, and then we'll see who agrees with me. The other thing is Kucinich brought House Bill 333 to bring impeachment charges against Cheney.
Yes.
And now Wexler and two other congressmen are asking for hearings. I think that's the least we could do, but I would like your opinion.
Oh yes, I think that I have no doubt whatsoever that the activities of Cheney and Bush and Elliot Abrams and several other of the high-ranking officials are subject to impeachment. I tried to get impeachment resolutions brought against Bush Sr. because of his involvement in Iran-Contra. It's the difficulty is that the impeachment process is ultimately a political activity, and what the Democratic Party that's in charge of the House and Senate, the House that would have to return the articles of impeachment and the Senate that would have to try him, what they're saying is that, look, there's only 1 year left before we have a political election here, and that it would take more than a year to get the whole political process to take place. And that's what they keep asserting as to why they won't do it. I tend to agree with Dennis Kucinich who, as I said earlier, I was his national policy chief in 2004. I agree that you should not allow just completely political considerations to stop you from meeting your constitutional responsibilities as a representative to present these resolutions in Congress and to try to force them to a vote. I think this should be done personally.
Thanks, Marie. Appreciate it. We're going to go to Corey in Davenport, Iowa, on our first-time caller. Apparently is up there pretty close to where you are right now, Dan. Corey, what's on your mind?
Good morning to you both. I just had a question about what would Mr. Sheehan think about instituting some form of, say, like a disclosure amnesty so that some of the people who would come forward would not so much face criminal charges. They might lose their position and, you know, but they wouldn't so much go to jail or have fear of lawsuits and other things that might come from some of their actions that they've done.
Well, that is precisely what we're talking about. That's exactly what was done that Bishop Tutu handled in South Africa, that it was granting them immunity against criminal prosecution and civil liability in order to get the benefit of their sworn testimony to give details about how this stuff happened and who was exactly involved in it. And they will, in fact, of course, be relieved of any kind of government position that they have and any future employment, but that they would be immunized against criminal prosecution and civil liability. That would be the theory of this.
And one other quick question was that what are your theories on there's been people who've talked about that we are currently in a campaign of controlled disclosure, whereas they let out information to the public at a pace that they figure that we could adjust to things a little bit easier.
Well, there's a lot of stuff written about that, in that it is clear that over the years bits of information have been being dragged out of them. My direct experience is that the nature of the resistance that we're getting to any attempts to get this information out seems to be entirely vigorous on their part, that they're not doing this voluntarily, that we're dragging this out of them. Very much the same way with the Kennedy assassination. You know, it's not as though there's been some decision made on the part of the people that were involved to reveal this information. It's just that over a long period of time, we're extracting this information from them piece by piece and assembling it. I think that's what's really happening. There's all kinds of rumors around about certain splits that are going on inside the internal group like MJ-12, that there's a majority of them that want to release this, but there's a group blocking them. It's hard to say at this point that I'm historically not in the business of guessing. I'm in the business of finding out. And so that I think that there needs to be a major a gathering of people in the UFO community to mount a really well-funded professional investigation with Class A licensed professional investigators, just like we used in the Karen Silkwood case, just like we used in the Iran-Contra case. This is what we really need to do to finally get at this information. And if, in fact, a new administration comes in under John Edwards or even perhaps Obama or others, that we are going to have a much better chance of having leverage inside those administrations. But we may well still have to mount a major litigation and investigation to get at this key piece of secret information.
Thanks, Corey. We're going to go to Tom in Michigan, who's been hanging on the wild card line for quite some time. Good morning, Tom.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Tom. Okay. Thanks.
I'd like to relate local government to how maybe national and world government would operate. I just bought a house here in Michigan, and I had to pay the, you know, the upkeep on the property, you know, like the lawn mowing and stuff. Well, I didn't own the property.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tom, keep in mind we got about 3 minutes left, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, but anyway, to make a long story short, I'm being charged like $100 a lawn mow here, and how would I take J.P. Morgan to small claims court? They're the ones that owned the property previously to me.
Just call the local legal aid society, bud. Call the legal aid society and go meet with them and ask them to initiate the case for you. They'll do it.
Thank you for the call. Isidore in New York on the wild card line. What's on your mind?
Hi. Something's on my mind. I'm sorry to change the subject. It has been reported that about 50 years ago, both the USSR and USA each dumped 20,000 55-gallon barrels of nuclear waste into their respective offshore ocean waters which circle the globe. And that in about 20 years, those barrels would start leaking. Could that explain global warming?
No, you would have been able to detect the higher levels of radiation within those currents. If that had been taking place, the tracking of the relationship of the release of global gases into the atmosphere, global greenhouse gases, has very clearly been now connected by the International Panel on Climate Control. Some 2,000 international scientists have been able to track exactly what is causing the global warming, and it's not that release of potential radiation into the water. And there have been certain pockets where they found this. For example, off San Francisco, there are two hot pockets where some radiation has been dumped. They're trying to dig that up, but there doesn't seem to be any really credible evidence to support a report like that.
Thanks for the call, Isidore. Appreciate it. We've got just about a minute or so left here, Dan. Maybe you could sort of sum up where you think things are going and how people can get involved.
Yeah, I think that the key is for people to get involved right now. We have one of the most vigorous debates going on in the history of American politics right now. It's a wide open field. This is the first time that there has not been an incumbent president or a vice president that's running for office for the presidency, and there's going to be a major new administration from one group or another that's coming in. I think everybody should become vigorously involved in this campaign and work hard to get your candidate elected, whoever they happen to be, and we need to mobilize now because we are only, remember, whoever it is that gets elected president this next year is going to be the president when 2012 comes around. And whatever the events are that are getting ready to happen in 2012, we want to have a person in that office who can be responsible and take charge at this time. And that's what we really need to focus on now. And we need to use our time between now and then to try to bring out as much of these terrible things that have happened in our past, come to grips with them, and establish institutional structures that can stop this from happening in the future. Because as President Kennedy said at the very beginning of this thing, this is what is the major enemy of our country. It is not just some major group in the Middle East or in Russia or in China. This is something that we can take care of, and we are the 6% of the population of the entire human family that exists in this country, and we can in fact bring this country back to make it the shining city on the hill that it has promised the world that it would be.
Dan Sheehan, thanks very much. It's been an interesting couple of hours with you. I know, the coast-to-coast audience had not heard you on this program before. They certainly know you now, and it's just been a fascinating conversation. It's certainly, regardless of where people are on the political spectrum, these are things we need to talk about and truths that need to be uncovered. So thanks for joining us. And if people want more information about Dan, they can contact his New Paradigm Institute. You can find it on the web. Also, thanks to Chris O'Brien. Chris, buddy, that was great stuff. I promise we'll have you back on. And if you're looking for folks, if you haven't finished your Christmas shopping, his book, Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, would make an excellent gift for someone on your UFO list. I want to say thanks to all the folks at Premier Radio and George Norrie, Lisa and Gina and Dan and everybody and my hosts here at KXNT. Merry Christmas to all of you. Happy New Year. Be safe out there, and I'll be back next month.